Okay, well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to be in John chapter 8 just for a little while.
Okay,
10 minutes ain't very long, but we're going to get as much as we can here. Let's go to John chapter 8. I just want to read two verses this morning. Just two verses. Let's look at verse number 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst... Now let's go down to verse number 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, you know I can't do this, but I pray that you'll help me and be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's a... What I want to look at is in verse 3 and verse 9 there. There's some words there that talk about position. There's a set, which is seated. You're sitting down. And then there's a standing. There's two different positions. Now the woman, when she was... that they brought her in there, she was condemned. We see the condition of the sinner. You know, she was condemned. There was nothing she could say to defend herself or get out of it. They had the people that had proof that she had committed this act. It was a sinful act. Yeah. It said that in verse number 4 that they caught her in the very act of adultery. Yeah. And but we see this woman, she was just her condition of sin was very evident in her life. And but then we see another group of people there. We see this woman, the sinner, and we see the change in her position. Yeah. And but then we see another group of people there, these complaining people. They was complaining about this woman. They was the ones, the accusers. They brought her to Jesus. They said, "Lord, look what she's done." Now, we see some things about them. Number one, they didn't quote Scripture correctly. They said, "Now Moses, the law commanded that such to be stoned. But what sayest thou?" They left out the part about the man. You know, they said she should be stoned, but they left out that part about that man. So they didn't quote Scripture correctly. But, you know, they're always the... these people, they were Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, these accusers were. They pictured the law. You know, the scribes wrote the law. They knew it. The Pharisees tried to live it. They tried their best. And, you know, they thought they was all that, you know, but we're going to find out here in a little bit. You know, these Pharisees, they like it when somebody else's sin is made known. They make a big thing about it because that covers them. You know, if everybody's looking at this other person, which this woman in this scripture here... If everybody's looking at that woman, their eyes are off them. And so we see them here. We see these complaining saints. But I want you to look at the Savior here real quick. The Savior, the one thing I want us to notice that He does, He confirms His own sinlessness. He separates Himself from everybody else in this story. I want you to look at this in verse number 7. So when they continued asking Him, you know, the law... The law is going to keep on asking. It convicts the soul. It doesn't stop asking. It keeps asking for a payment. For a payment for it. It keeps asking. But they continue asking Him. He lifted up Himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, cast the first stone." He took Himself out of the story here. He said, "He that is without sin among you." Had He said, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone," Jesus would have had to pick up a stone. He would have been obliged to do it because He's the sinless Son of God. But the fact that He said, "He that's not sin among you, cast the first stone," He pointed out that He was sinless. They were the only ones that were going to be able to stone her. And I'm so glad that the Savior is the sinless Son of God. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, listen to this now. The Savior does not condone sin. A lot of people look at this Scripture and they say, "Well, the Savior don't care. You know, you can go do anything you want." That is not true. He doesn't condone sin, but He does have compassion on the sinner. And I'm thankful for that because I was in this woman's position. I hadn't committed adultery. But, you know, he that breaks one point of the law, you know, in James 2, you know, if you break one point of the law, you're guilty of all. So, you know... But we see that here. Y'all was in the same condition she was. But I'm so glad the Savior had compassion. He doesn't condone, but He had compassion. But I want you to notice real quick here. This Scripture is very interesting because there are some things through here, some words, little words, that wouldn't really mean nothing to us. But they're mentioned twice. And that is very important. You know, that means that God is trying to show us something.
When God says something twice, we better listen. We better pick up our ear and listen closely because there's something He's trying to say. But the first word I want us to notice, it is in verse 3 and verse 4, is the word taken. Taken. It says that she was taken in adultery. That word taken. Now what I see here, you know the word adultery is used twice along with it. But I want you to notice that is the only sin that is mentioned in this Scriptures here. And that goes back to what I said before in James 2 there. It says, if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. What God's trying to show us here is there's nobody perfect. You know, even though we try to categorize sin, we try to say adultery's up here and lying's way down here. But no, they're all the same. You know, and so it doesn't matter if you've committed adultery or lied. You're guilty of all. Of course, we know we're born in this. But, you know, it doesn't take a lot of sinning to get you guilty. It just takes one. And she was guilty. She was guilty of death. We see that they said Moses the law commanded such to be stoned. Right up front, she's faced with death. She's faced with something that she can't handle. Something that it's going to end her life right there because of what she's done. And that's the same. We was in that condition one day. We was faced with death. The death that faced us when we realized, you know, we were guilty of sin, headed for hell. And that faced us. That was up in our face. But we see another word here. And this is what I brought out in the very beginning. Midst. In the midst. It says that she was set in the midst. And then it says that she was standing in the midst. Now the word midst is used twice there. You know, she was in the middle of these men. You know, there were three groups of people there. There was the accused, this woman. There was the accusers. But then, bless God, there was the advocate. The advocate was there. You know, Jesus was there, and He wasn't condoning sin, but He was there on her behalf, for her. And I'm glad when the law come and got me, that my advocate was there. Jesus was there. He was saying, yeah, He's guilty. He's guilty, but I've done something for it. He said, I'll take care of that. But we see her in the midst, but we notice the change in position in her life. What made her stand up? You know, she was brought in and she was set down. Now, what made her get up? You know, if it had been me there, if things had not been going quite my way, if when you're faced with death, that's a very, you know, thing that just brings you down. I would have been kept going lower and lower. But when somebody's there on your behalf, things go the other way. You're going to begin to stand in excitement. When you seek God on your behalf, He's for you, okay? But we see that in the word miss, these things that made her stand up. And the first thing that I see that made her stand up was the Savior stooped. He got down there where she was, right down there beside her. You know, He got down there on her level with her. You know, He wasn't up here standing, you know, look what you've done. No, He was there on her behalf. You know, and in this, I want you to notice this woman. This woman, she admitted guilt. You know, when you come to salvation, you have to admit guilt. She admitted guilt because if you notice there, she was silent all the way up until verse 11. She was silent. She didn't say nothing. She didn't have nothing she could say. She was caught in the act. But we say the Savior cared enough and was compassionate enough. He stooped right down there beside her. He got down there with her, not in her sin, but as her advocate, there with her to bring her up, to lift her up. But that word stooped is used twice there. But we see another word there, lifted. Lifted. And it's mentioned twice in verse 7 and 10. But Jesus said, you know, He said, if I be lifted up, He said, I'll draw all men unto me. And you know, He had a group of people there, and both groups needed Him. And they were there with Him. The accused really needed Him. But those accusers, they needed Him too. You know, they both had the same problem. They were in the same condition. Just one was brought in and set accused. You know, she was set condemned. She was condemned to death. She was going to die. She was faced with it. But at the end there, we see her when she stood justified. Just as if she had never done it. You know, and again, the Savior does not condone sin, but He has compassion on the sinner. And you know, He told her, He reprimanded her. Listen to this. He told her, he confronted her with her faults of the past. He said, neither do I condemn thee. But he said, go and sin no more. Yeah. But there's one more double here. Jesus wrote.
Yeah.
Jesus wrote. Now, I'm not interested in what he wrote. There's a lot of people, you know, they try to say what he wrote. But there is, I do believe that I have an opinion of what he wrote.
Yeah.
I believe the first time that he stooped down and wrote, twice he stooped and wrote. The first time he stooped and wrote, I believe he wrote other sins that this woman had committed.
Yeah.
To show that it was not the act of adultery that would bring a person to this need of a Savior.
Yeah.
There was other sins that could bring her to that.
Yeah.
But I believe the second time he wrote, that he wrote for those Pharisees, showing that they were in the same condition that she was. They were both in the same condition, needing him to lift them up. But I'm not interested in what he wrote, but I'm interested in where he wrote it. You know, the law, God came down on Mount Sinai and he wrote the law. It says the finger of God, and he wrote. He wrote the law. He wrote it in stone. That can't be argued with. That can't be done away with. It's there. It's permanent. It's forever. But when Jesus stooped down on that day and he wrote in that dirt, he wrote on the ground. He was pointing out sin, but he was giving them mercy. He was saying, look, he said, if you'll just admit your guilt, he'll say, I can wipe it out. He'll say, I'll get rid of it. He said, I'll take care of it for you. It'll be gone. It'll be no more. He showed them mercy.